Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on this incredibly beautiful Monday afternoon. We're going to the phones right now, continuing on with Dipper number one here, the big spend, and bringing on the phone with us right now, somebody who has lived through multiple terms in D.C. is former Congressman Mo Brooks, who served quite ably as the congressman from Alabama's 5th Congressional District. Prior to that, he also served in our state legislature. Right now, I understand he's enjoying lake life in retirement. Congressman, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and you're spot on. As I tell people when I give speeches, I break it into two parts. I say, hey, all you guys who voted for America, thank you for voting for me. And all those of you here who voted for one of my opponents, thank you for helping me have a funner life.
Yeah, the rub is you get to spend more time at the lake. That's just darn the luck. But anyway, well, how you doing? You doing well?
Oh, absolutely. Doing fantastic. I'm just looking out over the lake waters right now, watching people zip by in their boats, some of which stop to fish right near my shoreline. And it's beautiful weather today. Nice blue skies. Couldn't be any better.
Well, let's talk about cloudy skies, because this past weekend, am I correct in saying, by the way, that $95 billion in multiple foreign aid packages on a Saturday is not quite the norm in D.C.?
Well, it's not the norm, but it's happening more often than it should.
Yeah.
If not $95 billion for this, maybe a trillion for that.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, listen, I happen to know that you are indeed a fiscal conservative. Still one of my favorite moments ever is watching you slap down a news anchor who challenged as to whether you knew anything about economics, and you actually had a degree with honors from Duke, if I'm not mistaken, and sat her back in her chair. Let me ask you, first of all, your thoughts on the manner in which this came to bear. We had multiple packages. Now, the first thing on the floor, if I recall, was actually a bill for our southern border. But then it was followed by separate and unrelated or unattached appropriations bills, supplemental appropriation bills for Ukraine, Taiwan, and Israel. Your thoughts?
I'm a firm believer that Washington needs something akin to what Alabama already has embedded in our Constitution.
Yep.
Each bill should be limited to one subject matter. When you mix motherhood and apple pie with the devil's doings, you're damned if you vote for it. You're damned if you don't. You enact good policy at the same time you're enacting bad policy. And that's why we've got so much crap flowing from Washington, D.C. So, no, I disagree with the process, but it is what it is. And you haven't got enough congressmen who are willing to change it.
Well, there's that. You know, the thing about Ukraine, the most controversial, I mean, our current U.S. delegation from Alabama was in there, and they were, you know, even with our Democrat, was unanimous on the question of aid to Israel, almost unanimous on aid to Taiwan, but split right down the middle. I mean, literally, actually, there were more against the idea of aid to Ukraine than there were for it, just from Alabama. And if I'm not mistaken, the Hastert rule still applies. And Speaker Johnson actually kind of blew off the Hastert rule and brought something to the floor that the majority of the majority did not support.
That sometimes happens. But I think Mike Johnson recognizes that Russia, Putin's invasion of Ukraine, has put America in a position where we have two choices. One is bad, and the other is worse. The bad one is what they did this past weekend, approving aid in significant amounts to help Ukraine defend itself from Russian aggression. That's bad for a lot of different reasons. But the worst one was not to approve that aid, because if you don't approve that aid, then you've learned nothing from history, and you've significantly increased the likelihood that ultimately American troops will once again be involved in Europe, and that World War III will break out. And that's because Putin, in my judgment and the judgment of a lot of others, is very Hitler-esque And he won't stop until somebody has stopped him. He wants to reconstitute the old Soviet Union. He wants to take on Poland. He probably wants to take back Finland, because Russia, sometime in the last few hundred years, probably had some occupation force there. And so he considers that Russian territory. He'd take back the Baltics. He'd take back the Balkans. He would go for Moldova. And we failed to recognize in the 1930s that Hitler was not going to stop until someone stopped him with military force. And so he did this four, five, six times in the 1930s before finally France and Britain said no more. But it took four, five, six times before the Brits realized and the French realized that the only way to stop an aggressive madman is with military force. If they hadn't done it when they did it, Hitler would have been that much stronger when he came directly at France and Britain.
Well, yeah, we can look back and see the original loss of Poland in World War II when Neville Chamberlain, before Winston Churchill became prime minister, when Neville Chamberlain did his appeasement tour. But let me ask you this.
It was Austria, it was Sudetenland, and one or two other geographic areas, all of which made Germany's war machine more powerful.
It did. It made the war longer, too. And it also led to the extermination of, you know, no telling how many Jews because of the
millions.
Exactly. Let me ask you this, though, and I want to make sure that we leave time for discussion of the speaker himself. But the Ukraine aid package, I think the thing that frustrates me the most, and I don't think this is just because of my own military background, but because I literally do not see a plan. I made the comment earlier, if Ukraine was a business and we were the bank, they'd be required to have references and a business model and a prospectus and a pro forma and lay out their case. And I get it. They kind of make their case, but we don't require them to show what they're doing with the funds that I can see. Is it better than what we're seeing, or is it literally just throwing money over there and saying, good luck, guys?
Well, it's much better than what you're seeing, in my judgment. I don't know about this particular bill, but past monies allocated to Ukraine, a significant majority of that's been spent in the United States, creating jobs in the United States. Now, those jobs are in the military sector, the defense industry. By way of example, down at Troy, that's one of the places. Up here in Huntsville, this is another place. But we build military equipment that is then shipped over to Ukraine. So that military equipment is pretty much going to go to their defense of their home soil, not just money being thrown out of helicopters, which is sometimes the way it's perceived or projected in the mainstream news media. And don't get me wrong, not all of it is spent in the United States on military equipment.
Yeah.
Some is spent on so-called humanitarian aid, which can be who knows what, and the accountability on that is just about as bad as the accountability on money spent at the southern border.
When I hear Biden, though, say, the goal is to be here as long as they need us until it's over. What are the milestones, though? What are the red lines? What are the moments in time that we're looking for, or what are the effects on the ground that we need to see to know that we have reached some form of homeostasis with this thing? Because right now, there's not a projection of what it takes to either keep us in or keep us out.
Well, you're an historian. You know that Afghanistan is, and the way we handled that, is what to a significant degree bled the Soviet Union dry, both militarily and financially, resulting in its collapse and it being split up into a much less powerful entity, many different countries, one of which, of course, is Ukraine. And as long as the Ukrainians are willing to fight for their liberty, fight for their independence, and bleed Russia, then it's to America's advantage for Ukraine to be engaged in that fight, using whatever assistance we can give them, than risking World War III, where our men and women in uniform are over there in that fight, coupled with the horrific risk that Russia would use nuclear or other weaponry on American soil. That's what we're trying to avoid. And as long as Putin and the country, Russia, is focused on Ukraine, That means they do not have the ability to invade Poland, which, by the way, is now asking for the stationing of nuclear weapons on its soil because of their fear of Russia. Finland, who has just been subjected to a movement of potentially nuclear-armed missilery being moved by Putin towards that border. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is to our benefit, but it's painful. The only thing we really want is peace over there and people minding their own business. But unfortunately, Putin's not going to give us that. So we're stuck with some bad choices. This is the better of the bad.
Well, that's a good frame of reference, and I appreciate it. Listen, I tell you what, Congressman, would you mind holding on during a break? Because we didn't get it. Okay, great. I appreciate that. We're going to do that. We're going to take a break right now. We're going to hold on with Congressman Mo Brooks. We're going to come back. I mean, this is a man who has lived and breathed in the halls of Congress, and I want to get his perspective on what's going on with our current Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like saving the world one soundbite at a time. Going right back to the phones right now with former Congressman Mo Brooks. Congressman, let me just ask you. We have a situation right now that is somewhat unparalleled in the removal or replacement of speakers. And just, I mean, it's almost like they're, you know, like changing socks. But for all practical purposes, everything we hear about our current Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, is that he is a fairly conservative and well-respected individual. And yet, once again, we have a call for his removal. Largely based upon the issues related to spending packages. Your thoughts on that, and what do you know?
Well, this effort does not appear to be substantive, which is contrary to the message of the national news media. You can file a motion to vacate, which is relatively meaningless, or you can file a privileged motion to vacate, which guarantees a House floor vote. See the difference? If you just file a motion to vacate, you're expressing an opinion, I think we need a new speaker. But you don't mean business until you filed the privileged motion to vacate. No one's filed a privileged motion to vacate. So why would someone file a motion to vacate? Well, perhaps they're trying to leverage the speaker into doing something by threatening to file the privileged motion to vacate, and pointing to the motion to vacate that's not privileged as proof that they mean business. So I suspect that Paul Gosar of Arizona, Thomas Massie out of Kentucky, Marjorie Taylor Greene out of Georgia, they are trying to get something else. They hopefully recognize the danger to the Republican Party of yet another vacation of a speaker, particularly when it's going to be so hard to get someone to replace Mike Johnson. I mean, Look at the last speakers we've had. John Boehner, no longer there. Paul Ryan, no longer there. Kevin McCarthy, no longer there. If they remove Mike Johnson, what's the message? Well, if you run for speaker and you win, you're effectively announcing to the world that you're retiring from Congress.
Well, and that's the way it feels. And I look at this and think, certainly, if you have a beef with a speaker, you should be able to air that grievance, and I know they do in caucus meetings and on the floor. But at the same time, if you want to remove the speaker 6-7 months before a major election at a time when we have a one vote slim majority, we're trying to get a little something done. It just seems like they could wait till the next Congress to even file the motions and stir things up, for that matter.
Well, you're talking sense.
Oh, sorry.
And some of these folks are not very sensical. You know, bear in mind, these people are disgruntled because they're losing some votes. That is not the House Speaker's fault. They're losing votes because they have not been able to persuade other congressmen to vote with them. Think about that for a moment. It's not the Speaker who is causing these votes to be lost, that these disgruntled folks want to win. It's because they have a minority position. And this is not the United States Senate, where the rules give an individual senator a whole lot more and disproportionate power. than he might otherwise have. In the House of Representatives, majority rules. And if you ain't got a majority, you're not going to win a vote on spending. You're not going to win a vote on border security. You're not going to win a vote on whether you want or don't want aid to Taiwan or Israel or Ukraine. So they need to do a better job of marketing their belief system that they're able to persuade a majority of the Congress to agree with them. And if they do that, you know what? They're going to win the vote.
Well, and that sounds like the way it's supposed to work. The outside optics are what keeps getting stirred. And I agree with you that the press is part of what's stirring this up. But let me ask you this. Part of the problem that our current speaker is also facing is that his majority keeps getting slimmer and slimmer with retirements that are coming in mid-cycle. And what's your thoughts? I mean, why are some of these folks going to the House when they could literally wait just a short amount of time before doing so?
Well, this is new to me. I was elected and sworn in 2011. I served for 12 years. And as best my memory serves me, not once did we have so many people voluntarily retire midterm.
Yeah.
When you win an election, you're signing up for a two-year term. And I've never seen anything like this, particularly when the majority is razor thin. And if the malcontents keep this up, well, they're going to get to try to file motions to vacate against the Democrat Speaker of the House, which will have no chance.
Well, and that's where we're headed right now. You can't. In fact, the majority doesn't get any slimmer than what we have right this very minute. Congressman, I appreciate you hanging on during the break and giving us a few more minutes of perspective on this. It's something to watch from the outside. I know you've lived it from the inside, and there are days I wish you were still there. But thanks for what you do, and thanks for your service to the nation.
You're very kind. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
All right, you too. Enjoy the lake. All right. Well, listen, we're gonna move on from that. We're gonna hit the next dipper here momentarily when we get back from the next break. The rise of the new Nazis. But yes, I will just tell you that, and I appreciate him saying what he said, and pointing out, rightfully so, that some of the $60 billion and other billions we're spending on Ukraine is actually funding things here in the U.S. But dadgummit, if the Biden administration wants an unlimited checkbook, they ought to at least be able to say, here's what we're doing with the money. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. Y'all, I'm talking about Alabama. Man, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. By the way, I got to remind you guys, so news out today, brand spanking new news, is that Right Side, we are Right Side Media, by the way. Right Side Radio is owned and operated by Right Side Media, my company, and we do more than just radio. Radio is the big hub. It's what we do. But the radio show is then podcasted after the fact, and we have a ton of downloads of the podcast. I just check it out if you miss a piece, or you want to catch up, or you want to send a piece to a friend. Absolutely. Go get it. Anywhere podcasts are available, you can find Right Side Radio. We also have a written op-ed that goes out every single week. In fact, the first run of it came out this morning on 1819 News, but it's published in news outlets all over the state of Alabama. And then on top of that, we just launched a brand spanking new video podcast. It's called The Right Philosophy. And it came out today. We went ahead and uploaded the first three so we'd have some content on day one. Got another one coming out here in a few days, and there'll be one a week thereafter. But I encourage you, go to the rightsideradio.org website. That's rightsideradio.org. Check out the podcast tab. It's called The Right Philosophy. Click on that. You'll take you to the landing page for the podcast. And I would appreciate your commentary. Love to know what you think about it. It's the new labor of love for what we're doing here, generating good, solid, conservative content for all you ruffians out there. All right, let me grab a few text messages before I jump in the dipper. I gotta make sure I stay current. Brian from Decatur says, I'm not sure I ever said this before, but like a previous texter said, we should just buy Ukraine. They should hold a vote for entry as a state of the United States. That'll complicate Russia's plans real quick. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it would. They'd immediately be a NATO state at that point, wouldn't they? John from Huntsville. Phil, I think Russia and Ukraine are equally corrupt. I don't trust Zelensky at all. John from Huntsville. Appreciate you, man. TL from Huntsville. The Ukraine Support Tracker Team noted in a news release that there is a large gap between commitments and allocations in Europe. As of January 15th, the EU and its member states have committed a total of about $155 billion in aid, but allocated just $83 billion of that total for specific purposes, according to the Institute. I have no doubt, which is one of the things that frustrates me too, is I want to see Europe do its part. And I hesitate to use the term, pay your fair share, but you know what I'm saying. But I do agree that the U.S. Is carrying the bulk of the fight. Now, the U.S. has more capabilities than all of Europe combined. But Europe can do more than it's doing, in my opinion. Jerry from Decatur says, sorry, I forgot to add the backbone to enforce the law concerning the border. I hear you, man. Kimball from Harvest says, regarding Ukraine aid, why can Europe never step up and address in a significant way a threat from Russia that directly impacts its own safety and well-being? I think because they've always been able to get to the U.S. to take the lead militarily and financially. I'm confident Trump will be able to negotiate a better arrangement with our allies who are always able to get the U.S. to make it our problem. Kimball, I think you're right. I think that Trump gets elected. We're going to see a different tone in policy. I believe we'll still see continued aid and support to Ukraine, but I think that there will be a much more measured approach. I think there'll also be milestones. I think there'll be requirements. We'll see where it goes. Chris from Madison, don't put forward a garbage bill that only Dems. Okay, there's several texts. I'm sorry. Chris from Madison was texting in like stream of consciousness. First one, this Ukraine spending bill vote is a knife in the back of conservative taxpayers. Time's up for rhinos. Johnson did this to himself by caving or being bought. Mo is wrong. Don't put forward a garbage bill that only Dems want. Chris from Madison just feeling it today. Feeling it. That was, by the way, that was like five separate texts. Ga-ding, 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 just popping in. Richard T. from Madison says, the more I listen to Representative Brooks, I believe he'd be better serving the country than sitting by the lake. I blame Trump and the Alabama primary voters. I don't disagree with that. And I still think the way he was treated by Trump was just reprehensible. Stephen from Madison says, good Lord, that man is so intelligent. Spot on, wise, understanding, clear in speech. I miss him. Stephen, you are one of many. And then Devin from Brownsboro, are they ever going to come up with an end goal for Ukraine? What's your philosophy? I see that. He's already playing off the podcast.
It's catching on.
Catching on, man. Are they going to come up with an end goal for Ukraine? You know, I can't tell you that I've sat down and measured out the strategy. But I can tell you that I would want to know the strategic planning in place, guarded certain sites, that we bolstered certain aspects of their defense, that we did some regional protections, and we drew some lines in the sand, said Russia will not pass here. I never hear any of that from the Biden administration. I don't think there's anything wrong with us saying, if you're going to spend our billions, then we want to know how you're going to put it into play. Granted, there has to be flexibility because, you know, the best laid plans never survive first contact with the enemy. That's the old rule. I get it. Things will change on the ground. But that doesn't mean you don't plan. And what we don't see right now is the strategic plan. Now, by the way, on the one hand, I do understand that there will be things that we don't want to announce to the world because we don't want to tell Russia exactly what's happening. I get it. But there is zero indication coming from the Biden administration that they at least have a plan. Except, we're in it for the long haul. Who's got the ice cream? That's what it sounds like. I mean, it's nuts. All right, listen, we're going to switch gears right now. So this is Dipper number two. You ready? Rise of the New Nazis. Let me ask you something. If a member of Congress, if a sitting member of Congress had a college-age daughter who wanted to join the KKK and conduct lynchings of black people and burn crosses, would the general public stand for that? Or would we be up in arms? I'm going to tell you right now, we'd be up in arms. I believe that members of both parties, folks from all regions of the nation, would not sit idly by and say, that is just okay, we like it. No, we wouldn't. Representative Ilhan Omar's daughter calls for death to Israel, pro-Hamas, was arrested on the campus of Columbia University, along with hundreds of others. Ilhan Omar says that she's proud of her daughter. "Well, I'm glad you love your daughter unconditionally. Well, you should, but I just cannot possibly imagine how you could say I'm proud of what she's doing. Unless that's the way you raised her. You raised her for those sentiments." The thing is, apparently there's a lot of skulls full of mush right now on the college campuses who believe that protesting against our greatest ally in the Middle East is the way to go. My latest piece came out today. It's published on 1819 News Today. It'll be out in probably Trustful Tribune tomorrow. It'll be in other periodicals throughout the state over the next week and a half. But it's called The Wrong Side of History. And it's saying that we as a nation do not want to be on the wrong side of history when it comes to support for Israel. Now, granted, our Congress is doing its job. They just sent billions, or they authorized billions. And that's key, and I get it. But I cannot understand how pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, anti-Israel, anti-Jew protests are allowed to run rampant across our nation. Phil, they got a freedom of speech right. They got just as much right to say what they want. Yes, they do. Yes, they do, until they say death to somebody. And then it stops. Stops cold as track. Until they destroy property. And then it stops. Until they jam up essential services by blocking highways, it stops. Until they do something like, oh, I don't know, threatening Jewish students on their college campus where they pay for their tuition, it just stops. When they're blocking Jews from being able to get to their jobs, like the professor at Columbia today who could not go to work because he was blocked from doing so by anti-Semitic protesters. So right now, we're watching on the screens in the studio, it's been a thing all afternoon. Anti-Israeli, anti-Jew protests. Why? Just so you know, by the way, got a piece here from the New York Post. Came out 4 days ago. Anti-Semitic crimes have skyrocketed by 45% this year, according to police data obtained by the New York Post this past week. NYPD says they will increase patrols at synagogues for Passover season. So far in 2024, just this year, 96 anti-Jewish incidents have been reported across the Big Apple. That's just New York. Just New York City. Compared to 66 this last time, the same time last year. Y'all, that's a pretty significant uptick. Why? Well, think about what's happened. This time last year was pre-October 7th. Israel didn't have to go to war with Hamas like it's doing now until October 8th. And we're watching as somehow the world has forgotten. I say the world. Somehow liberal progressive skulls full of mush who protest wearing masks, by the way, because they don't want anybody to see who they are, because they stand for something, but they can't stand for something. The worst thing that ever happened in COVID was the invention of the friggin' cloth mask you can pull out of your pocket, strap on your face, and no one questions it. How about this? Go take your friggin' mask off. This is like the people who want to rail against me on Twitter for being a conservative, but they use an avatar and a fake name. If you believe it, just stand there and believe it. Just stand there and tell the world who you are. Anyway, Jewish students have been told to stay home. They have. Jews who openly display overt signs of their Jewishness shouldn't have to feel insecure and anxious and reprehensive, says Rabbi Alvin Kass, the chief chaplain of the NYPD. He said it's hard to think that after so many thousands of years, anti-Semitism is still alive and well. But it is. When we get back from this break, I'm going to tell you more. Because, folks, I'm just honest with you. What we're seeing is disturbing. It's not just a matter of having free speech. Yes, you have a right to your speech. Yes, you have a right to your beliefs. Yes, you have a right to assemble. When you do so at the expense of peace and call for the death and destruction of an entire people for no other reason than you just hate them, you're not worthy of the air you breathe. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, by the way, there's breaking news right now on Fox. I've got the two big screens up here in the studio wall, and Fox is reporting rockets launched out of northern Iraq into Syria near a U.S. military installation. Don't know any more than that, but here we are. You know, we got U.S. troops in harm's way. We've got Israel being attacked by Iran. We've got, you know, any number of things happening where the Houthis are shooting at even U.S. Naval ships. And yet we've got skulls full of mush who wear a mask and put a keffiyeh on because it makes them feel cool, like they're solidarity. We're protesting. We know things. And they're out there protesting right now, calling for death to Israel and chanting things like some of the chants that they are shouting on these college. It's unbelievable. You know, literally out there shouting for things like, hey, Hamas, we're all Hamas today. Kill another soldier when you get a chance. I mean, we're watching these things happening on U.S. college campuses. Now, do they have a right to freedom of speech? Again, yes, they do. But there are limits to free speech when it comes to calling for death and destruction. You don't call for acts of violence. And oh, by the way, you don't destroy property in doing so. Daily Wire has a piece that came out yesterday afternoon. An Orthodox rabbi at Columbia University has urged all Jewish students on Sunday to go home for their own safety following displays of extreme anti-Semitism around the New York City campus. The rabbi Eli Buechler, who is part of the Orthodox Union's Jewish Learning Initiative on campus, sent the message amid protests in and around the Ivy League schools in response to the Israel-Hamas war in the Gaza Strip. He said, "What we're witnessing in and around campus is terrible and tragic. The events of the last few days, especially last night, have made it clear that Columbia University's public safety and the NYPD cannot guarantee Jewish students' safeties in the face of extreme anti-Semitism and anarchy. More than 100 students have been arrested at Columbia University for refusing to leave a pro-Palestinian encampment. One of whom was the daughter of Representative Ilhan Omar. She was detained and later said she'd been suspended. Columbia University President Manoush Shafiq said she authorized the NYPD to clear the encampment off campus. But guess what? Story out again. New anti-Israel tent city takes over Columbia University days after NYPD raids as activists vow to stay forever. We're staying forever! Okay. We're here. We're going to do it. We're going to be here forever. Right. You're going to be there forever until your Game Boy batteries run out. That's what's going to happen. Be there forever. Be there forever until suddenly you realize you're not allowed to have access to the toilets because they're going to shut the doors to you. How about that? We're going to be here forever. Yeah, it's going to be great forever when July in New York City takes on a little bit more of a heat and stink factor. See how you feel about it then, little punks. Massive new anti-Israel tent city took over Columbia University, says New York Post, on Sunday, just days after an NYPD raid had cleared another intrusive encampment there and cuffed more than 100 protesters. At least 30 tents sprawled across Manhattan Ivy League School's West Lawn in front of the Butler Library, along with piles of food and supplies. By the way, there's a lot of speculation that this is being funded and supported by outside interest. You think? No, surely not. You don't think stockpiles of supplies are coming in from, I don't know, elsewhere, do you? By the way, how many of these are actual students? That's another great question. How many of these are imports, if you know what I mean? I mean, you've got organized protesters, like professional protesters, who come in and sort of rally and carry on, tell people how to do it. I mean, the other day, Fox was on Columbia's campus. Did you see this? Fox was on Columbia's campus attempting to interview some of the protesters. One of the protesters quickly jumped in front of the camera and said, "Excuse me, you'll have to go see our media outlet." "You've got a media outlet?" "Yeah, over there. That's where you have to go talk to the media tent. They're the ones who will tell you what's going on." You know what that means? Somebody's organized enough to where they said, "Hey, don't let everybody do their own messaging. We got to centralize the messaging. You know, we got to keep it on theme. Don't let somebody say something stupid." Okay, like, we got to stay here forever. Anyway, anti-Israel students previously took over part of the campus last week, erecting about 60 tents. The tent sprouted since said he sprouted up even after the president of the university had vowed to crack down. On last Thursday, NYPD cops in riot gear moved in and raided the unkempt encampment, hauling away at least 108 protesters, clearing the area of the tents and supplies. But less than 24 hours later, dozens of students started returning to the grounds. One 27-year-old protester who was a Jewish graduate student at the Ivy told the Post that one of the demonstration leaders claimed the Columbia officials informed them the tents could remain for a week. I hope that's not true. Okay, you can stay for 1 week. It'll be all right. You're welcome to tear up the grass and impede other students from getting to their classes. And oh, by the way, you could stop the Jewish professor who needs to go and teach his class. He's just, you know, he's just a Jewish professor. It's okay. You can go and stop him. It's all right. Remember Occupy Wall Street? How long did that last? Didn't a few people die in there? Yeah, I believe they did. Remember the Chaz and the Chop out in Seattle, in Portland, where they took over like a whole city block and a city park, and they made it their own and said the police weren't welcome? There was a time when they used to go and do the sit-in, but the sit-in wasn't designed for us to stay forever. And so here we are looking at, once again, they're willing to tear stuff up and impede other people from having the ability to carry on with life and even to threaten. When we get back, we'll talk about it some more. The rise of the new Nazis. How about the Yale students who stabbed another Jewish student in the eye while burning a U.S. flag? Come on. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on this most beautiful of Mondays. A couple of quick test messages and I'll go to the phone. Steve from Tennessee says, the student protester punks reflect their vapid rich parents. Train up a child. And we can thank Jimmy Carter for Iran. Steve, very cogent text. Jay from Hartzell says, anyone chanting death to America or to Israelis should be brought up on terroristic threat charges. I would tend to agree with that. Like, what did you mean by death to them? Would you like to follow through on that with, I don't know, your lawyer? We'll see. Right now, they seem to be getting away with it, largely speaking. Let me go to the phones real quick. Is that Jeffro? Jeffro from Indiana. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Doing real good, Phil.
Good. How was Thunder over Louisville?
It was fantastic. The air show was so-so and everything, but the fireworks show, it was just nuts.
Oh, that's one of my favorite things is fireworks displays. I love them. I could sit and just watch them for hours.
I cannot believe you're married to a Louisvillian and you haven't been to Thunder. Oh my!
Well, she isn't good.
She's lost her way.
She's a beautiful native Louisvillian, but we've not made it to one. No, we haven't. What's on your mind, man?
She has been to one. Ed. Okay. Well, you know, these kids, we're going to have to stop the indoctrination. These kids are indoctrinated in our schools, just like these Palestinians are indoctrinated in their schools. I mean, we're going to have to come down and basically make so that teachers can teach, you know, the actual information instead of their opinions of everything. You know, I want my kids to go to school to be able to read, write, and do math. I don't want them to go to school to be indoctrinated into hating somebody or become some kind of, you know, global environmentalist or whatever, just because the teacher says, oh, you know, that's the thing to do without having any information to back it up.
Yeah, I look at it too, and I wonder how many of them are going to wind up being suspended. I mean, this is a big, hairy deal. You're enrolled in an Ivy League university. I bet some of them are on scholarship. Probably had like top flight ACT scores coming out of high school. And now they're at the Ivy League. And they're camping out on the lawn and protesting and tearing down the American flag, which I haven't even gotten to yet, but they did. And they're, you know, committing violent acts against Jewish students and blocking Jewish professors from getting to work. And I look at it and think, at what point is the university going to go, you, take off your mask. Yeah, you're a student. You're suspended. It just seems antithetical to common sense that they wouldn't.
I wonder how many Republicans are in this mess, you know, out there doing all this. You think there's any?
There might be a few future Republicans once they realize how expensive life really is when you get off mommy and daddy's dime.
Yeah.
Just saying.
But, yeah, I mean, you got to remember the Democrat Party, the liberals and everything, these people are the most hateful, you know, unabashed, just crazy people on the face of the planet. Nothing makes any sense. You can't reason with them. And they're just basically indoctrinated into thinking all these crazy things, you know, and stuff. I can't even believe that, you know, that the most, it's like the Jewish people that vote Democrat. I mean, that perplexes me as much as that's kind of like saying, well, you know, there's some Jewish Nazis and Jewish Hamas and black Democrats. From back when the Democrats was keeping them out of schools and standing in the doorway and everything, you know, they were Democrats back then. And I just can't figure out why.
Last week that Trump said any Jewish American who would vote Democrat needs to have their head examined. I think he said that last week. I agree. I mean, they're the ones who were by the way, it was Ilhan Omar's daughter was one of the ringleaders of the protest on Columbia's campus. And she's a sitting member of Congress. If that was a Republican whose kid was in the KKK or something, he'd have been kicked out of Congress already.
That's how far that we've fallen. If we don't get a handle on things, you know, soon and turn this ship around, I'm afraid we're going to go over the falls. And when it does, Katie, bar the doors, people.
Well, yep, I'm not going to argue that. All right, look, man, we got to take a few text messages and keep moving. Appreciate you. Be safe on the road, all right?
Have a good one, Phil.
All right, we'll see you, buddy. Ken from Harvest says, herein is an open invitation to Jewish students at Columbia University. You are welcome to transfer to any college in Alabama. You'll get a good education. You'll learn about hospitality and where open carry is the law. That's right. And we drink sweet tea down here too, by golly. Ken, thank you for that, man. And I agree. Come on down, y'all. I think you'll find that the things they say about us ain't real. By the way, I've been other places. You're from Alabama? I heard y'all are like racist down there. Have you been to Alabama lately? I don't even know anybody who's racist. I mean, does it exist? Certainly. Do we have problems? Of course, every state does. But you walk around Alabama and tell me where you see the cross burning, because it's rarely ever a real issue.
It's not like the movies.
No.
People think it's like the movies.
No, they're watching movies about like 1955 Alabama with, you know, Jim Crow laws and things that don't exist anymore. Teresa from Town Creek says, just so you know, I'm staying here forever. Well, Teresa, you stay with us. We'll keep you. Michael from Moores Mill says, what I can't comprehend is how a bunch of entitled kids protesting about something halfway around the world is supposed to fix anything. Yeah. And by the way, they're making demands. We have demands, and until they're met, we won't leave. What are your demands? We will divest, and we will not allow, like, any, I don't know, Israeli stuff on our campus. What does that mean? What do you want gone? What's going to make your life better? It's BDS, man. We're gonna divest and stuff. Okay, what does that even mean? From the river to the sea, we're here forever. Shut up. Go to the house. Go back to mommy's basement. You know, sit around in your flannel pants and pretend that life is just different than what it really is. Jeff from Indiana texted in. He says, I think we need to let all the students watch uncensored footage of what these so-called Palestinians did to the Israeli people. Brother, you are right. In fact, I say this. We ought to make as a condition of their getting out on bail, they have to go over and spend a week talking to actual Jews in Israel who suffered on October 7th. Mike from Athens says, just start expelling students and I guarantee they'll shut up. Yes, I agree. Chris from Gadsden, I think it was Mike Rowe who said the right to free speech is like the right to vote. Some people just should not. Yeah, there's a wisdom application here. Chris from Madison says, regarding Mo Brooks, said, I still voted for Mo after his stupidity. Oh, okay, here we go. But it's his fault we now have Katie Britt as our U.S. Senator instead of him. And now he sounds like a real swamp creature. Def won't vote for him again. I sent Dale Strong email notice he's not getting my support after voting yes on Ukraine bill. Okay, Chris, what is your plan? Are you going to run against Dale Strong? Is that what's happening? Hang in there, man. Let him know how you feel. But, you know, at some point, the whole, well, I'll never support you again thing, I guarantee you'll change your tune as soon as you need something. Barry from Athens, these college protests have really caused me to want to forgive their college debt. Oh, thank you. Yes. How many of them are going to ask for their student loans to be forgiven? I protested for you, Mr. President. Oh, there you go. A couple more and we'll go to the break. Leanne from Huntsville says, doesn't it all just make you want to play 70s music and crack open a beer? Yeah, man. Could you put on some Frampton and let's just sit back and enjoy the weather? I think that would be fine. Fine as frog's hair. Gary from Decatur says, I disagree that Trump treated Brooks reprehensibly. Brooks stated on many major media platforms he wouldn't support 2016 presidential candidate Trump as he wasn't a serious candidate. When a Trump staffer brought this up to him, that's why he withdrew his support for Brooks and backed Katie Britt. To her credit, Katie Britt turned out to be a very competent junior senator from Alabama. So listen, let's be clear. I think that a part of what we're seeing here is the fact that Trump has burned people. Now, I'm supporting Trump. Absolutely do. I believe he can come in there and he can make a change. I believe he can come in there with probably the only strength of will that we have right now in the Republican Party to truly buck the establishment. I think that's going to happen, and it needs to happen. So don't mistake what I'm about to say. The one thing that really gets me about Trump is his willingness to burn people, his willingness to, like, Jeff Sessions, Mike Pence, Mo Brooks, and just burn them and just look and go, I don't like that anymore. Therefore, I'm going to trash you. You can't always do the things that Trump wants done because there has to be a legality to back it. And that's part of the problem is his willingness just to burn people and to cast them aside. All right, Big Rig, take me to the break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back, and I'm going to keep going. Rise of the New Nazis. Oh, yeah. We can do a lighter topic for tomorrow. What am I going to do? We'll find a lighter topic for tomorrow if the world will let us. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, by the way, don't forget, today's the day we launched the brand spanking new video podcast called The Right Philosophy. The Right Philosophy is available. We have three episodes up already. It's a video podcast. I'm doing it from my study in my home. And inviting y'all in for me to have some commentary. These three episodes are already up right now at rightsideradio.org on the podcast. You can podcast tab. You can just click on it. Go to the Right Philosophy icon. Click on that. It takes you to the content. And we have another one coming out in just a couple of days, and then one a week thereafter. But yeah, brand spanking new. As a part of Right Side Media's overall blitz of conservatism, we have the Right Side Radio Show. We have the Right Side Radio Podcast. We have the Right Philosophy Podcast. And we got the Right Side Way, which is a written op-ed that comes out every single week. Just doing all we can to take the fight to the libs, y'all. And I appreciate all your support in doing this. Please go check it out, by the way. Love to get your feedback on it. The Right Philosophy video podcast at rightsideradio.org. Sticking with this topic, dipper number two. I think it's going to be a two-dipper day, just saying. These are heavy topics. The Postmillennial has a piece came out yesterday. Yale students stab a Jewish student in the eye and tear down American flags during campus protests against U.S. and Israel. This is on the campus of Yale. These are our vaunted Ivy League institutions, y'all. Now, they can't play football for crap, but they've got amazing educational opportunities, right? On Saturday, Yale students tore down American flags on campus during ongoing demonstrations against Israel and the U.S., in which students formed an autonomous zone. Oh, good. Look, once again, they're doing it. It's an autonomous zone. You can't come in. This is like our fort. We built it ourselves. It's ours. You can't have it. We put, like, you know, chairs up and made a playhouse, and you're not allowed in. That's what we got. These are kids, and they're taking over part of their campus. But listen, don't mistake what they're doing for being, like, goofy. It's goofy. It's also dangerous. One of the protesters allegedly stabbed a Jewish student in the eye with a Palestinian flagpole during the protest. The victim, whose name is Sahar Tartak, is the editor-in-chief of the Yale Free Press. It's a student newspaper. She was there documenting. She told the outlet that the anti-Israel student mob formed a blockade around her and a friend after they had been singled out because they were wearing Hasidic Jewish attire. So here they are. They're two students at Yale, there to document what's happening. They get surrounded by the mob. One of them swings a Palestinian flag on a pole, stabs her friend in the eye. They're trying to get out. The crowd won't let them. The crowd, by the way, chanted, "Long live Palestine," while they tore down an American flag from one of the university's flagpoles. Destruction of property, occupation of private property, and oh, by the way, how about just, you know, violence against fellow students? Story here on NewYorkOne.com that came out in December. So this is only a few months back. Hundreds of U.S. synagogues and Jewish organizations from across the U.S. were targeted back in December by emailed bomb threats, according to law enforcement officials. Yeah, hundreds in at least 17 states and Washington, D.C. 199 false bomb threats, different swatting incidents all in a 24-hour period. Tell me that wasn't coordinated. All over. A member of what's called the Jewish Nonprofit Security Community Network that records these incidents and puts out warnings to members of the Jewish community says California saw 93 incidents alone in just 24 hours during that time period. Arizona saw 62, Connecticut 15. So these were organized attempts to harass and demean members of the Jewish community just a few months ago. In 2023, it was reported that nearly 450 swatting incidents and bomb threats had occurred. That's a 541% increase from the mere 82 that had occurred in 2022. Almost 20 times more than the 23 incidents that recorded in 2019 and 21. So what you're seeing here is a massive, massive uptick in violence and demeaning of Jews. This is not just from the river to the sea, which I don't even know what that means. What does that even mean? What's for the river? What river? By the way, it's the Jordan River. What sea? That'd be the Mediterranean. Oh, what's in between the river to the sea? That'd be Israel. So if you're going to say from the river to the sea, what you're doing is you're saying we need to remove what's in the way right now between the river and the sea. Well, that'd be Israel. I got a quick Brian from Huntsville on the line. Hey, Brian, how you doing, buddy?
Doing okay, Colonel. Other than people that we have in colleges nowadays don't have enough history behind them to know what they're doing when Ivy Leaguers are running around tearing down American flags and doing partially violent protests. But I guess all I can say is they can go to Yale. All of them.
Have a good one. See, man. I get you. Well,
Brian always with the quick jokes.
He's got them, man. We got to have a book of like Brian jokes. There's dad jokes and there's Brian jokes. Appreciate you, Brian. Thanks so much. All right, listen, we're going to take the break here momentarily. We'll come back and we'll pick up where we left off. I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper, the rise of the new Nazis. Yeah, it's not good because you're watching organized protests. And by the way, there also ought to be, in my opinion, you can protest, but you shouldn't be covering your face. You should not be allowed to cover your face and get away with it and pretend that no one's going to ever know who you are. That's, to me, is cowardice. Cowardice. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. Y'all are talking about Alabama. Man, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I tell you who else covers a lot of ground. That's our friends at Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers like a lot of ground across North Alabama. Places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations around the Birmingham area. And by the way, the newest one, I think, is in Helena. Southern Immediate Care, every one of them open 7 days a week. 7 days a week. I mean, you get sick on a Saturday, do you wait till Monday? No. Southern Immediate Care. And oh, by the way, they will see all ages. So I like to say it's pediatric to geriatric. They'll see them all. And oh, by the way, this is who I use personally. No kidding. Had to go last week. What was amazing to me too, they were open to like 10 o'clock at night. So yeah, Southern Immediate Care. Every time I've been in, clean, professional, friendly, get you in, get you out, take care of you. And oh, by the way, the other part of this is they are owned by a Right Side Ruffian. So I use them not because they advertise. I use them because it was so easy to brag on them. And yes, the Right Side Ruffian piece sure made it easy too. Southern Immediate Care. You need help even on a Saturday? You look them up, find the location nearest to you, head on down there, and oh, by the way, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that. I think I said, oh, by the way, like 15 times during that one ad. Just clear indication, by the way, that those are what we call live. That was not a recording. We got a caller on the line or no? No, okay.
No, we don't. But his name was Tim from Coleman, and he told me to tell you to read Deuteronomy 11:24.
Well, thank you.
About God's promise.
Tim, thank you so much. Appreciate that. I tell you what, I'll get a few other text messages here in just a minute. I'm in this thing. I'm talking about the rise of the new Nazis. It's not just the threats of a bomb threat. It's not just the protests on the campus. There's actual violence, and there are things that are happening that shouldn't be ever in our free society ever tolerated. Story here from the New York Post, Dateline, Friday afternoon. Volunteers scrambled to rescue Torah scrolls in the rubble after a New York synagogue burned down. This is in, is it Pomona, I believe? No, Pomona's in California. Where was this? I'm going to find the name of the community here in a moment, but it was in Rockland County. I know that, in New York. Volunteers scrambled to rescue three sacred Torah scrolls buried beneath the rubble of their destroyed synagogue after it burned down in upstate New York this past week. Rockland County firefighters put out the flames that engulfed the Hasidim of Heights Temple. The group spent more than an hour trying to free the safe, cutting it with a buzzsaw, prying it open, only to reach the holy scrolls and find two out of three of them had suffered severe damage because of the blaze and the efforts to put it out. Even water from the fire hoses got into the safe. Rockland County Arson Investigation is investigating the fire, trying to track down its origins, meaning they don't see it as being happenstance. Somebody didn't leave the heater on. Something's going on, and a synagogue has burned down, and the sacred scrolls that they, you know, loved are now gone. And they're going to hold a special ceremony. They have to, I understand that they have to do a special ceremony and bury them, actually. I watch all that's happening right now. Let me draw an analogy, and I'm gonna run a risk here of someone saying you're conflating. I'm not trying to do that, but what I am saying is this: like right now, you're watching pro-union activity in manufacturing plants that we've never seen before. Why? Because they are empowered by the Biden administration. Phil, where are you going with this? Bear with me. They are empowered by the Biden administration. And so, therefore, the environment in which they are operating is clearly union conducive. Things that have never happened before in terms of unionization and basically messing with our ability to have viable manufacturing plants are happening right now because they see from the very top, meaning the presidency, that that's where they got all the support in the world they need. I mean, they can. Well, why do you think right now the anti-Jew, pro-Hamas protesters feel so empowered? You're watching right now one of the most undermining presidencies in our nation's history when it comes to Jews and Israel. Israel formed in 1948, but there was a resolution passed by the state of Alabama in 1943 calling for a nation state for Israel. The United States was the very first nation on earth to formally recognize Israel as a state in 1948. And within that, then, Alabama became the first state in our nation to support them openly. We have a long history of supporting Israel. They have been our greatest ally. They are a true democracy. They are a staunch foe to our enemies in the Middle East. They are a deterrent to the enemies in the Middle East. And they are also a massive trade partner, and we have a technology trade with them that is, you know, bar none. This is a nation with whom we have a very symbiotic relationship. Just 5 years ago, the Abraham Accords during the Trump administration led to massive peace and government-to-government negotiations between, like, the United Arab Emirates, Morocco, Bahrain, and Israel. It was an unparalleled time of peace and government-to-government negotiation. Arab nations were lining up to sign up for the Abraham Accords with Israel. Trump had moved the embassy from, I believe, Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, signifying to the rest of the nitwits and the anti-Semites in the Middle East that we weren't going to cater to their fickle whims anymore. All of that went away in 4 years. We are now looking at a time when not only is Israel being supported and yet undermined. Well, we support Israel. We stand with Israel. Hey, Israel, don't you dare do that. Hey, Israel, don't stop it. Hey, Israel, we're going to build a big pier and bring food and support to Gaza where you're at war. Hey, Israel, you got to stop. We're going to pass an aid package, but we're going to put $9 billion in it for Gaza. Okay. By the way, I do not want to see the U.S. having to pay to rebuild Gaza. But then you've got stuff like this. Washington Examiner, John from Huntsville pointed this out earlier. Washington Examiner, U.S. to announce the first sanctions ever against an IDF unit over actions in the West Bank. IDF, the Israeli Defense Force. That's their army. The U.S. is announcing first sanctions against an IDF unit? Over actions in the West Bank? What are we talking about here? Why would we do this? Secretary of State Antony Blinken will announce sanctions against IDF's 97th Netzah Yehuda Battalion, allegedly they're ultra-Orthodox Jews, like, I guess, right-wing Jews. It's a battalion of extremists, I guess. But what we're looking at now is the Biden administration is not just calling on Israel to, you know, operate with restraint towards Iran, not just calling for a ceasefire in Gaza, even though they still have some Americans being held hostage. We're looking at, now they're actually going to press for international sanctions of some type against an actual Israeli unit? What the heck? The sanctions are not due to any actions during the war in Gaza, but rather alleged human rights abuses committed in the West Bank before October 7th. Oh, good. Okay. Great. That makes just wonderful sense. Hey, Israel, we're going to pick out one of your units, and we're going to call them out to the world and, I don't know, put some sanctions? How do you sanction a unit? Among the human rights abuses cited was its involvement in the death of an elderly Palestinian-American named Omar Hassad, who died after he was handcuffed and gagged and forced to lie on his stomach for an extended period of time. That's it? I imagine that when they arrested, I don't know the story. But I imagine that there was a little more to the story. Sounds a little George Floyd-ish. A little more to the story, if you know what I'm saying. Sanctions against the unit will prohibit it from receiving any U.S. military aid. How are you going to do that? Hey, we're going to send aid to Israel, but we're telling you right now, don't you give any of that to those guys. No, no, no. But money's fungible. Oh, yeah, that's right. We'll just spend some of your U.S. dollars double over here and take what we were going to put over there and give it to this new IDF unit that you don't like. Several other units were investigated by the U.S. for abuses, but We're investigating independent units in Israel. So here's my point. The protesters right now on the campuses of Yale and Columbia, and the ones who chain themselves together and block bridges in San Francisco and stop people from getting to the airport in Los Angeles and basically walk through the streets chanting death to Israel, death to America, from the river to the sea, they are empowered right now because from the very top, they can see an anti-Israeli sentiment. They can see that Israel does not have favor with the Biden administration. And Israel's having to walk a fine line. And truthfully, Israel is facing its own issues. Aside from the war, which still has the support of its people, the Israeli chief of intelligence resigned today. He did. And he resigned, and probably rightfully so. But here's the lesson. He resigned because October 7th, the massacre happened on his watch. And apparently he tried to resign immediately thereafter, but they asked him to stay on to do his job for a period of time. Did you see anybody from the Biden administration resign in the wake of the pullout from Afghanistan? I don't remember a one. Not a single one. Not a whit. Nobody said, "Buck stops here. I've tendered my resignation to the president because it happened on my watch." Nobody. Nobody in intelligence, nobody in the military, certainly nobody in the State Department that abandoned 1,000 American citizens and green card holders. But in Israel today, a lesson in taking responsibility as the head of Israeli intelligence resigned in the wake of October 7th. And yet, at the Biden White House, Netanyahu is undermined. Chuck Schumer goes to the floor of the Senate and calls for a vote out of Netanyahu. Ilhan Omar, her daughter, is protesting against Israel and railing as an anti-Semite on the campus at Columbia, and yet Ilhan Omar says openly she supports her daughter. All this is going on. Yes, these protesters, they've got the environment to do what they're doing. They feel empowered by it. They have no reason to pull back. "We're staying here forever." Why would they think they can't? Because they are operating in an environment that is conducive to what they are doing and saying. So they can tear down American flags and yell death to Israel, knowing full well that they have the support of their State Department, their presidency, and certain members of Congress. It's gross. It's absolutely asinine. And it's gross. And on that happy note, we're going to take a break. Last break of the day. Got you going all the way to go home time, you guys. Look, take heart, because I believe in the end we win, right? I do. But it's tough times we're in, and we got to keep our eyes wide open. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. I got a number of text messages to catch up on, and I will also remind you guys, as we are hitting go home time, the brand spanking new, Right Philosophy podcast is up. It's a video podcast. I mean, you can listen to it, easily, but, if you wanted, it's designed to be video and audio, but, I want to encourage y'all to check it out. The Right Philosophy, it is, up on the Right Side Radio podcast, tab on the rightsideradio.org, website. And yeah, we're pretty excited about it. We got three of them up there right now. I wanted to have some in the hopper, so it wasn't like this one. We got multiple in there right now. Another one dropping in a couple of days. It'll be planned for one a week at that point soon thereafter. And pretty excited about it. The Right Philosophy podcast. It's available to you on rightsideradio.org. John from Harvest says, "I think it was Robert Gates who said that Biden has been on the wrong side of every major foreign policy and national security issue for 40 years." You are correct, sir. It was indeed Robert Gates, who worked for both the Bush and Obama White Houses. He says, "It doesn't look like Grandpa Joe's improving his record." There you go. Daryl from Blount County says, "I want to know why we're just talking about this. Why are we not doing something to stop it?" Well, Daryl, we're not at Columbia University right now. I'm not sure what you're asking me about. But, man, if you want to clarify, I'll be glad to try and address it. John from Huntsville, "Phil, you and Big Rig both earned an A++. There you go. "For your equally fantastic performances. However, today's winner is obviously Mo Brooks with an A++. There you go. Perfection and congratulations. Also, just want to ask Big Rig if he's going to play a Taco Tuesday sound effect tomorrow, or do I need to call in and sing my amazing Taco Tuesday jingle?"
Oh, no need. We're definitely going to have the new sound effect.
New sound effects are coming in the hopper. We'll get them. Robert from Hazel Green says, "How in the world is the Democrat Party still in existence with their history of slavery, racism, hate, and division? Stupid people shouldn't be allowed to vote including one in particular that loves to call your show. No, man, they're allowed to vote. You know what? They are. We just got to outvote them. Barry from Fultondale. Phil, this is what's wrong with people today. It comes from God's word from the book of Romans. Romans 1, 18 through 23. For the wrath of God is revealed. You know what? You got cut off there. By the way, your text didn't come through all the way. But Romans 1, 18 through 23 is what he's saying. I'm hearing you. And it has to do with the wrath of God. That's all I know so far. Don't have that one memorized. JT Lacey Springs, students masking to hide their identity. Useless. During the COVID masquerade, it was easy to recognize acquaintances. Also today, the wife who was 6 weeks 17 and I eloped 47 years ago. Wow. Wow. Happy anniversary to you, JT and wife. Love hearing that. Yeah, that's good stuff, man. That's awesome. Big rig, quick on the sound effects. Yeah, that's very cool. So my grandparents on my dad's side met on a blind date and eloped a week later, but didn't tell anybody. They both went home and lived at their parents' houses.
That's awesome.
Until one of my granny's sisters ratted her out, and then here's what I'm told was said. My papa, her dad said, if you're gonna take up married, you're gonna take up married living.
Yeah,
and they moved in, and they were together until granddaddy died 50 years later.
I like stories like that because it just goes to show you, you know when you know.
That's right. That's a good point.
Because there's people out there they stay together for years, or they date for years and then they don't get married. Well, then you're probably not right for that person. But then there's stories of people like they know each other a few months, they get married, they stay together for years and years and years. You know when you know.
Charlene and I are coming up on 38 years. 38.
Congrats.
Man.
Do you need a sound effect for that?
Sure. I'll take one. I was about to say, it better not be the jackassery sound effect because that's going to be wrong. Mark from Laredo, Tennessee says, I'm betting George Soros money is funding this protest. I would agree, sir. I bet if we tracked it down, we would find it. There's a George Soros signature on the check. Joe from Elkmont says, instead of wasting police resources on protesters, each city should establish another unit to handle these situations. Instead of using SWAT, they could call it the GOBU, the Good Old Boys Unit. I see that as being troublesome, just so you know. Badger from Athens says, Yale, expel them all and possibly legal repercussions. I hope so. We'll see. Chris from Madison on the call earlier says, Phil, I'm not ready to run yet, but we'll see soon enough. All right, Chris, good enough, man. Get in there. And then Graham from Meridianville says, I think Dale Strong voted against Ukraine aid. He did. He voted for Israel and Taiwan aid. That is correct, sir. I read that out earlier in the show. All right, didn't even get to all of them. Amazing audience, amazing day. We're back here tomorrow. You guys have a great night. We'll see you then.